Well, how many of you remember the old TV series Mission Impossible? Do you remember that? Your mission, should you choose to accept it. And now you have that Mission Impossible theme in your mind. How many of you, it's been running through your mind since I said it. You can't get it out now, can you? Right? Well, you know, the point of Mission Impossible, I guess, is that the mission that the team was asked to do really was something that you'd say, that's impossible. And yet they always seem to do it, right? You know, sometimes in your life, God brings things into your life that are not necessarily a mission impossible. But to you, it seems like it's a mission impossible. In Joshua chapter 3, the people of Israel came to a place in their life when they faced what was a mission impossible moment. Really, I guess for them, it was more like a mission impassable moment. They had come to the Jordan River, and the Jordan River, they had to cross to go into the land that God had promised them and to claim the victory that God had for them. In the spring, the floods of the Jordan River would take a river that was normally not a fast river, but in the spring, it would turn into a broad river and a raging river. What would normally be the place where they crossed, about in the natural state of the Jordan River, about 100 to 150 feet, fairly slow moving water. In the springtime, that very same place would be a mile and a half or a mile to a mile and a half wide. And it would be a raging river as the spring rains, the winter rains provided water that watered all of the land of Israel. The snow would melt in the spring from the north. It would cause all the water to just rush. And the people come to the Jordan River, and it was for them an impassable river. Now, how do you get 1.5 to 3 million people across a river that is raging a mile to a mile and a half wide? That seems fairly impossible, or in this case, impassable. There was a barrier that stood between them and the victory that God had promised them. So we're in a series in the book of Joshua entitled Claiming God's Victory. And we are learning about what it is that God, how He works so that we can experience the fullness of the victory that He has already promised us. And you will find in your life, as you are living and claiming the victory that God has for you, that you will come to impassable barriers. And for you to know the victory, you're going to need to let God help you and do what you cannot do to get past those impassable barriers. Now, unbelief says, let's go back where it's safe. Let's go back to the familiar. We may not even like where we are, but at least we know it. But faith says, let's go forward where God is working. Let's claim what God has before. Let's watch how God helps us to do His will. And how God takes us past those barriers that to us seem impassable. Those things that are between us and the victory that God has for us. So I'm going to invite you then to turn in your Bible to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Now you may find yourself today facing mission impassable. And if you aren't there today, believe me, there will come times in your life where you will face mission impassable. And the question then you have to ask yourself on this day and days like this, when you have impassable barriers in your life, is will you claim God's victory and watch Him take you beyond those impassable barriers? So I'm going to preach to you about the four mission impassable, the four phases to passing the impassable in your life. Now, I'm going to give you just a heads up. There are these four phases, but we're not going to do all four today. Can I get a witness? That's as enthusiastic as we get. So we'll do two this time, and the next time we open the Word together, we'll do the other two. So let's talk about those four, begin on this journey with these four phases to passing the impassable in your life. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us. Lord, as you have revealed your truth in this book, the Bible, and your truth about the events that these people of ancient Israel experienced, and through them they reveal you and what you can do. Now we come in our lives to maybe not rivers that are so wide and raging, but we come to things that in our lives are, in our own power, equally impassable. And give us the hope and encouragement that you are God who's faithful and true. And bring us by the work of the Holy Spirit to, as individuals, to places that we are willing to take you by faith and believe that you have the power to take us beyond that which we can't seem in our own strength to get past. And so, Lord, we pray for you to speak to people in a wonderful and powerful way. We yield to the Holy Spirit for this, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's talk about the first phase. Phase one. Phase one is the preparation phase. We read about it in the first eight verses of Joshua chapter 3. The spies have returned from Jericho. They spied it out, and they report to Joshua in chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. And then the account continues, chapter 3, verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning. Now, he gets up early. Maybe he was an early riser. Maybe, you know how it is when you have something the next day and you're so excited about it, you don't sleep well. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Or maybe you're afraid if you do fall asleep, then you're going to miss it, miss your alarm, and then you're going to, you know. For whatever reason, he gets up early. Maybe it's just that he was ready to go. And he wakes up early on that day. And he tells the people on that day that we're going to cross the river. Now, here's something very interesting. All the way in this account, God never one time, as he records it in the Bible, showed Joshua how to cross the river. All he tells him is that he was going to cross the river. So Joshua prepares. He prepares the 1.5 to 3 million people to pack up their tents and their belongings, their livestock and their families. And they spend the day packing and then walking 10 miles from Shittim, where they are, to the Jordan River, where they set up camp. So you read these words, Joshua 1 or 3 verse 1. Joshua rose up early in the morning. They removed from Shittim to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass, verse 2, after 3 days that the officers went through the host. Now, wait a minute. Why did God have the people wait 3 days? You know, they'd already been waiting for some time. Remember at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses died, the people waited and mourned for 30 days. Already been waiting for some time. And then we learned about whenever Joshua told the people, okay, get ready. You're going to have, in 3 days, we're going to go over the Jordan River. And 3 days came and went. But remember, while they were waiting, the spies had gone into Jericho, and we learned about the detour they had to take, right? They were found out, so they were hiding for an extra 3 days, even beyond that. And now they report back, and the people pack everything up, and they get all their stuff and all their people and all the kids and all the families and all the animals and all that they have. And they move from where they are about 10 miles, and then they come to the River Jordan, and they set up camp there. And God makes them wait for 3 days. Now, why would God do that? God did that because they had to see it. And they looked at this river and they see how wide it is. And they see how fast the water's running. And they look around and they look at all their stuff. all these kids and older people and all the stuff and all these animals. And the bridge was closed, evidently. No bridge. What conclusion would you come to when you look at 1.5 to 3 million people and all of their stuff to go across a wide, raging river with no way to do it that seemed apparent? What conclusion would you come to? This is impossible. This river is impassable. God told us that we're going to have a land and we're going to conquer the land, and we can't even get past the river. All of this was part of God's preparation. Because when God prepares you to overcome impossible and impassable situations, impossible, impassable barriers, God brings us to the end of our self-sufficiency. In Psalm 107, you can keep your place in Joshua's book, but you can take your Bible and go with me to Psalm 107. You're welcome to join me there. In Psalm 107, God is writing the story of the people of Israel in this time in their lives. And as God writes the story, Psalm 107, would you please notice verse 4, and we will consider through verse 7. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then, when they're in a desperate situation, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Now look at verse 11 through verse 13. Verse 11 tells us, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought them down, brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. Then look at your Bible at verse 13. Verse 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. He saveth them out of their distresses. Verse 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. He bringeth them out of their distresses. So that again and again, and the people as they wandered in that wilderness, they again and again, God brought them to the end of themselves. And when they were finally at a point where they couldn't do anything and they were, there's no way, then they cry unto the Lord and the Lord intervenes. And now the last of their journey into the promised land, the very last step before they go in, God one more time says, I'm going to bring you to the very end of yourself. Because there's no way that you're going to be able to pass that barrier. You can't get past it on your own. If God was writing your story, what would he write with your story? Would he say, that was a person who was so ungrateful and bitter, complaining all the time, never satisfied, until they came to the end of her, he or she came to the end of himself or herself. Then, when they finally saw their bitterness and their complaining and their griping and all, and they saw it as a sin before me instead of an excuse to make, then I stepped in and delivered them from it. And they stopped making excuses and accepted responsibility. Then I stepped in. When that person finally saw their self-righteousness for what it was, they turned from their self-righteousness and put their trust in my Son, Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. Then I say, finally, at the end of themselves, then they found that I was enough. Now, why would God bring these people to the end of their self-sufficiency? Well, God answers the question for us in this passage of Scripture in Joshua chapter 3. So return with me to Joshua chapter 3. And the answer is that God brings us to the end of self-sufficiency so that we can experience supernatural sufficiency. God brings us to the end of self-sufficiency so we can experience supernatural sufficiency. Now, are you at an impassable barrier, something you just can't get past, something that is so impossible? Do you say there's just no way to go beyond where I am? Is it all right if I say good? Good? Good. It's a good thing. It's really good to be at places in our life when the barriers are so big we can't get past them. It's good. Because when you reach those barriers and you realize there is no way, I've tried everything I can do and I can't get past it. I've done everything I could, but I can't get past it. Then you are at a place that God is working to prepare you to experience Him in wonderful ways. And when you're at that point where you just can't get past it, you'll need to understand that God is preparing you to teach you the sufficiency of His presence, that He is enough. So we read in our Bibles, verse 3 and then verse 4, they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. The ark, in these two chapters, chapter 3 and chapter 4, the ark is mentioned 16 times. 10 times it's called the Ark of the Covenant. 3 times it's called the Ark of the Lord. It's called simply the Ark 3 times. This is the place where God's presence dwelt with men. As the Ark was going before the people, it was a symbol that God was leading them. He was leading them to the edge and even through an impassable barrier. And as long as they would follow the Ark and the leading of the Lord, His presence would carry them through. Now, God had promised Moses in Exodus 33 and verse 14 that my presence will go with you. And then when Moses passed from the scene, God promised Joshua. Joshua 1:5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And now they come to this place. And God says, now I'm going to lead you and you're going to leave from where you are to go to that place. But I want you to know that wherever you go, I'll be with you. When God leads you, He will be with you. Now, if you're on your own and you don't follow the Lord, you are on your own. But if you're willing to follow the Lord, when you come to that impassable and impossible barrier, follow the Lord. His presence is enough. And when you see the ark, verse 3, verse 3. Ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Now, when the Israelites camped, they had a very specific arrangement for their camp by tribe. And when they moved, they had a very specific order by tribe. And God says, now here's what you're going to do. When you see that ark begin to move, this is when you follow. And so as the ark began to move, then the people began to move. You know, when God moves and God works and God directs, you just need to follow what the Lord says. And He's preparing you when you follow Him to cross that impassable barrier that you find in your life. The ark was, verse 4 tells us, it was 2,000 cubits ahead. Now, a cubit is a foot and a half. You can do the math. A foot and a half is 3,000 feet. 3,000 feet is 5.68 miles, or excuse me, 0.568 miles. That's a big difference, isn't there? 0.568 miles, that's about a half a mile. So that whenever God's ark moved, the people could put it out there. So clearly God was leading. It was not a question that God was leading them. They could be confident that as God leads them, His presence would be with them as long as they followed. And you'll notice in verse 4, God tells them this. That ye may know the way by which ye must go. When God leads you, He will take you on paths that you've never walked. You're at this impassable barrier and you say, there's just no way. I can't even imagine getting past this. I've lived this way for so long. I've accepted living in defeat for so long. I've let this hold me back for so long. It's been such a burden for me for so long. I can't even imagine. But whenever you let God lead you, His presence will take you to places that paths that you have never gone. And then He'll take you to places you've never been. And I love that last phrase. Don't you love the last phrase of verse 4? For ye have not passed this way heretofore. So wherever you go, I want you to know that I'm with you and my presence is enough for you. Now we just sang today, He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Here's my question. When you face those situations in your life, those barriers that seem impassable, is He really all you need? That's easy singing. Easy singing. But that's faith-filled living. Is He enough to help you through that impassable barrier? So when God prepares you for these impassable barriers, He is teaching us the sufficiency of His presence, but then He's teaching us something else. He's teaching us about the sufficiency of His power. So Joshua says in verse 5 of chapter 3, he said to the people, sanctify yourselves. The last time that the Bible gives a record of the people of Israel being told to sanctify themselves was about 40 years earlier. A little less than 40 years earlier. And on that occasion, you read about it in Exodus chapter 19. On that occasion, God said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to sanctify yourself. So I want everyone to take a bath. Get yourself all cleaned up. I want you to wash your clothes. You don't want no dirty clothes. And for the married people, you're not to be involved in marital intimacy for these days. And here's why. God said, I want you to know that I'm going to do something wonderful and I want you to be consecrated and give yourself to me for this event. And you know what God did that was wonderful? God gave the people of Israel on that occasion, all those years before, His holy law. And now there's a new generation. And this new generation comes to this impassable barrier that they just can't get past. And God says, now listen, I want you to sanctify yourselves. I want you to give yourself wholly to me. The renewal of their consecration to the Lord. Keep reading verse 5, if you will. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Now, as all this is taking place, the Lord says to Joshua, now I'm going to do something for you, something special for you. Verse 7, and the Lord said to Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And then verse 8, and thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come into the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in the water. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. Okay. Now, come to the brink of the water, the River Jordan. But then we're going to stand still in the middle of it? That doesn't make sense. And what you'll find is God's going to do things in your life. And as God works in your life, He's going to bring you to places that are impossible. And you're going to say, that just doesn't seem like it makes any sense. But what is happening is that God is over and over and over again bringing you to a place where your mission, I guess we'll call it those mission impassable moments. And when you're finally at the end of yourself and now you realize you can't, then you are willing to watch what God does. And when you are willing to do God's will, God's way, then God provides something that you cannot do on your own. He provides supernatural power. You won't experience supernatural power until you trust God and to go forward in your life and get past the barrier. You may just come up with so many excuses why you can't. And God says, okay, I'm sorry. I could have done so much in your life, but you wouldn't believe me because you were trying to figure it all out. So God, in this passage, as He does in our lives, brings us to know the sufficiency of His power. And it may be that God has you in a season in your life that He's really breaking you. And if God is breaking you and you're in a season in your life when He is breaking you, then you need to get ready, because God is not breaking you of your self-will and of your own sufficiency for no reason. God does this intentionally because God is at the point where He has something ahead for you, and He knows that you must be broken before you can know His power and experience the reality of God in your life. How many of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior could tell our story, how whether you're a child or an adult, whatever the circumstance of your story in your life, that God brought you to the end of yourself and you were finally broken, and finally you said, okay, Lord, I will by faith put my trust in Jesus alone. How many times could it be a testimony that you have where under the pressures of the impassable, impossible situations and barriers that keep you from moving forward and have held you back, God brings you to the edge, and now under the burden of it, you see the end of yourself, and there it is that God is going to take you beyond where you are. John Eldridge, author, writes this story about a man in the 19th century who wanted to compete in the Scottish Games. He was a discus thrower, and so he made a metal discus. He trained with that discus. He wanted to break the record and be the champion discus thrower of the Scottish Games. And so he trains day after day with his metal discus, and he trains and he trains and he trains. He finally reaches the point that he could throw that metal discus the record distance. Finally, the day comes and he goes to the Scottish Games. He is handed the discus with which he will compete, but this is not a metal discus. This is a wood discus. And he throws his discus, and with the light weight relative to the metal discus, he throws it and he sets a record. He wins the Scottish Games. For a number of years later, he was the champion discus thrower in the Scottish Games. And Eldridge says, as he read that story or heard that story, he thought to himself, that's how you do it. You train under a burden. And what God is doing is God is preparing you for something ahead, but He's bringing some burdens into your life. That impassable barrier that you just can't. This is a burden, but this is a burden that can be a blessing. Because under the pressures and under the strain of the burden, God is bringing you to the place that now you can rest in His presence and power to take you through where you cannot go on your own. And on this day, God is dealing with your heart, and you have Mission Impossible on your brain. You've been thinking about it all through this morning. This becomes the blessing that God works in your life. But you have to come to the end of yourself. Well, that takes us to the preparation phase. When God brings you to those impassable barriers and takes you through that which to you and I is impassable or impossible, God is working to prepare us for that moment to go through and to watch Him take us through. So that's the preparation phase. Here's the second phase. Remember, there are four. We'll only talk about two this morning. There's the presentation phase. We read about it in chapter 3, beginning in verse 9 through verse 13. At this phase, God makes His path clear for you. Now, when God does so, when He makes it clear, God tells you what to do. Now, in chapter 1, God already told Joshua, now here's what's going to happen. Chapter 1, verse 11, you're going to pass over this Jordan. So God revealed His plan. Then, chapter 2, God confirmed His plan. The spies and Rahab and Jericho, what an adventure that was we went on together. And even here, in this portion of Scripture, God reminds us, chapter 3, verse 1, that the people were going to pass over. He reminds Joshua, He reminds him, you're going to pass over. So that God brings them to a point now, they're right beside the river, they're camped there for 3 days, they look at it, it's impassable, but yet it's clear that they have to cross this river, and God is presenting to them, this is the next step for you to take. This is your open door, this is your opportunity, this is your next step. And at this point they are learning something that I learned a number of years ago. It's a wonderful principle that God always shows you the what before He shows you the how. Can I say it again? God always shows you the what before He shows you the how. Can I tell you when God first taught this to me? You aren't going to believe this, but I learned it in preaching the Bible. I was preaching through the book of Nehemiah. As we went, remember, Nehemiah, God called him to build the walls of the city of Jerusalem, something that hadn't been done in 9 years. Just a broken down, vulnerable city for 90 years. Just 90 years, nobody could build the walls. The city was a ruin. It was a mess for 90 years and nobody could build the wall. And God told Nehemiah, here's what I'm calling you to do. I want you to lead a building program and build the wall. Now, Lord, you know that's going to take a lot of money. It's going to take a lot of people. In fact, Nehemiah wasn't even living in Jerusalem. He was far away in a pagan kingdom. God always shows you the what before He shows you the how. And don't let that bother you. Don't let that intimidate you. Because the what, when God makes it clear, God's specialty is doing the how. See, that's what we like to say, okay, Lord, here's the what. Now, let me tell you how I think this ought to be done. And we lay out how many of you like to lay out plans? And it is part of our stewardship, part of our responsibility. But I want you to know that there are things that God does that the best laid plans of mice and men, I don't know if that's even a real thing, but the best laid plans can't do it. Not in God's work. So God always shows you the what before He shows you the how, and He specializes in the how. And then in this portion of Scripture, that God tells the people, here's the how. I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. We read about it, chapter 3, verse 11 through verse 13. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of your feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above. And they shall stand as a heap. You see what's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen. You're going to step in. As soon as you step in this raging river, all of a sudden it's just going to be cut off. All the water that's here is going to flow down. And this water that's still raging, it's just going to heap up. Just keep getting higher and higher and higher and higher. Impossible, yes. Absolutely. And now, as long as you're doing it your way, you're never going to experience what God can do. If you're willing to do things God's way, you say, okay, Lord, if that's how you want to do it, I'm willing to do it your way. Then you can watch God in your life help overcome those things that to you are impassable. Then God tells us why He would do it. Have you ever asked God, why would you do something that way? Now, Lord, there are plenty of ways. You could have made some boats. You could have provided all kinds of ways to do this, but why are you doing it this way, Lord? Here's why. Read about it, chapter 3, verse 9, and then verse 10. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. Now, this is significant. He wanted the people to know that God is not a God who is dead. God is a God who is living and working in their lives and working in their generation. He is the living God. He wanted them to experience Him as the living God. He wasn't just the God that we read about what He did in all those years past. They'd seen Him provide in all those years of wandering. Now they're at a new place and they're ready to go forward to an impassable barrier. And they wanted to experience, or God wanted them to experience Him as the living God. Do you experience God as the living God who's working your life? Can I ask you this? From last Sunday to this Sunday, would your life have been any different if God hadn't been there to help you? Really? Did He even enter into the equation of how you lived your life last week? You see, God brings us to these places because He wants us to know Him and experience Him as the living God. And then not only that, look in your Bible, verse 9. And that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. I want you to know that I'm going to take you through and show myself to you as the living God so you can experience my presence. But I want you to know I am preparing you because on the other side, I have power that I'm going to work. And you see a land with all these enemies. I'm going to take care of the enemies, but you have to be willing to trust me right now. So when you get on the other side, you say, well, if we can just make it to the other side. When you get to the other side, there's so much more that God has for you. This is part of the preparation that He is doing now, and He puts it before you. Are you going to be willing to believe God and trust God to take you through what's right before you so that He can prepare you for what's on the other side that you cannot see right now? See, whenever God brings you clearly to a mission impassable, and it's that burden that's on your mind, it's been on your heart, it's something that you say, I cannot make it past this. When you're finally at that point, what God is doing is God is presenting you with a choice and an opportunity. From here, you can decide, are you going to go with me or stay where you are? Now, if you go with me, I'm going to go through those things that are impassable in your life. But if you stay where you are, you're going to miss all that I have. You're going to live on this side. You're going to live in defeat. You're going to live saying, oh, if only, if only. Oh, I wish, I wish. So you're going to have to be willing when I present it to you to believe me. There's something wonderful in verse 9 that I don't want you to miss. Look in your Bible, verse 9. When God is giving these instructions and he's telling the people what he's going to do and how he's going to do it and why he's going to do it, God tells us, uses this expression when Joshua says, "Come hither and hear ye the words of the Lord your God." Now those names, look at those names, look at the typeset of them. The typeset of the word Lord is uppercase L, uppercase O, R, and D. Now, whenever you read that in your Bible, remember, this is typeset this way for a very specific reason. This is a very specific name of God. This is God's name, Jehovah. Some will say Yahweh. This is God's covenant name. And when God uses this name, he reminds you, I'm a God who is faithful to my promises. And then paired with that name, there's another name. This is the Lord who is your God. This God, uppercase G, lowercase O and D, is typeset this way because this is another name. It's a name for God, Elohim. This is God's creation name. So that as the Lord, he is the promise-keeping God. That's his covenant name. As the Lord your God, this is his creation name. This is his powerful name. And God reminds the people, when you come to this barrier and you see it, look at the water raging, muddy, nasty water, but it's raging. Look how far away across this river. I want you to know that the God who is faithful to his promises and had the power to create the world is going to help you and work on your behalf to go through that impassable barrier. In your life, you have some impassable barriers. Did you ever wonder, are we going to make it? Lord, can you do this? Can you? And as long as you're following the leading of the Lord God, he is enough. He is enough. And he's brought you to a point in your life when you have a choice to make. Is he enough? Is he enough? Well, you watch the old Mission Impossible TV show, right? And it's always put this way, always works the same way. The mission is presented, your mission, should you choose to accept it. Now, there's more we'll talk about the next time we're together. But for today, let's talk about, are you going to accept that God is working in your life to bring you to this point? And that he's enough. Man, I can't. You're right. Take God at his word. Watch him carry you through. My friend, if you've been saved by the grace and power of Jesus Christ and you're facing that barrier, he is enough to carry you through. If you, my friend, do not yet know the saving power of Christ to save you from the wrath of to come, oh, would you turn to him? He has the power to save. But the mission is put before you. Will you choose to accept it? Would you stand with me, please?